Vayikra, we begin a new chumash. A new chumash. Vayikra el Moshe. It's interesting that this year, we all know that hafeich v'hafeich v'dekulaba, the events that are ahead of us in the coming week are all rooted in Parshas HaShavua. And this year, Purim falls out against the backdrop of Parshas Vayikra. So obviously, it has to be that there are many lessons to derive, to extract from the parasha that relate to Purim. So what? Let's begin with the first one. We all know the first word of the parasha is a very, very famous Hazal Vayikra El Moshe. There's an Aleph Zeira in the Sefer Torah. If you study the Sefer Torah, you look in the Ksav HaShulchan, the way it's written in Torah, the Aleph is miniaturized. A miniature Aleph. The Aleph is very, very small, which means that you can read it. Whenever you have something like this, the popular understanding is there's a lesson, there is a directive. Don't just read the word with all of its letters. If one of the letters is small, is miniature, Zeira, you should omit that letter. So instead of the word being read Vayikra, as we read it, of course, it also can be read as for the purpose of understanding for Musar Vayikar. What does Vayikar mean? Well, there are many different ways to pronounce it, many different meanings. So immediately, the first thing you will come to your mind again when we are in the time of the year of Purim, La Yehudim Haiso Oira. Simcha v'sasayin v'kar. What does v'kar mean? Honor. Honor. Precious. Precious honor. Chazal, how do they understand the word v'kar? V'kar elu hatefillin. There are four results that came out of Purim. What's the takeaway? The takeaway of the holiday. La Yehudim hoysa oira simcha sasayin v'kar. What is oira? Torah. The takeaway of the Yom Tov of Purim is a rebuy, an increase in the study of Torah, the appreciation of Torah, the observance of the mitzvahs of Torah. This was the most important takeaway that came out of the salvation. Klal Yisrael, they committed themselves, they renewed their commitment. Chazal say, kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashe kiblu kvar. It's a second Kabbalah Satorah. It's a twin to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Just as we will makabel the Torah on Shavuos, we will makabel the Torah all over again at the conclusion of the Purim story. And Chazal said that it was even a greater Kabbalah Satorah because the Kabbalah Satorah that occurred at Har Sinai, we were coerced. Hashem lifted up the mountain, Kavi Yochel, and said to the Jewish people, I brought you here. If you change your mind now, I will destroy you. I will drop the mountain upon you and you will be buried right here and now. We were coerced. And if we were coerced, we can come along at a later point in time to a court of law and demand that we don't have to observe the mitzvahs because it was under duress. We did not accept this willingly. That's not fair. So and that was a very valid argument. That why should we have to observe the mitzvahs? We were forced to do so. So what happened? But when it came to the time of Purim, Klal Yisrael, they witnessed the miracle that Hashem did for them. They accepted the Torah willingly. It was a new Kabbalah Satorah. Was there a ceremony? I don't know. The Chazal don't tell us the details. It was just a conscious or subconscious acknowledgement. But there was a kibul. The kibul Chazal accepted the Torah willingly. No longer can anyone come along and say that it's not fair. We were coerced. We were not coerced. At the time of Purim, we were makabel the Torah. Yehudim ha'isa oira. Simcha zu yomtiv. It's a celebration. Sasayin mila, a renewal of bris mila. Bris mila, all that it represents, the covenant. Hashem was coerced with Avraham Avinu, the 13 brisos with bris mila. Bris mila is one of the most fundamental concepts in Judaism. It is the brist, our unique covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so those three things are very, very straightforward. Torah and Ki Yom Tif, Okay, it's a day to celebrate, a celebration. Maybe it needs to be defined a little bit more. And Bris Milah, that goes back to Avraham Avinu. And then comes the last of the four, which is a bit more complex, Yukar, Tefillin. What do Tefillin have to do with Purim? And the truth is, it's really very simple. Because Tefillin, it says about the Tefillin, V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yadu mimeka. Purim begins the ushering in of Mashiach. Because the goal of Mashiach is for Klal Yisrael to leave, to be recognized as the Am HaNifkar by the entire world. Until Mashiach comes, we know that we are special. But they don't. The Goyim don't. They don't have any clue. We're living in our own little world. The Orthodox Jews, think about it. Orthodox Jews, they live in their own world. All here live in your own little world. The Goyim have no clue. They look at Orthodox Jews as the strangest people in the world. They do these strange, bizarre things. What in the world is all of these mitzvahs about? They really, really don't understand us. New York Times, the policy, there was a leak many years ago. A leak, there must be a leak. Every week, New York Times, one article about Orthodox Jews. That was the policy, because they're such intriguing. They're so intriguing. They're very entertaining. Negative, some positive. Not every article was negative. I don't know if they still do it. New York Times is not today. It's not what it used to be. People don't have that same respect in the Goyim for the New York Times that used to. It's their whole thing. New York Times used to be the Bible. It used to be the Word of God years ago. It's not to say, you don't get the impression the New York Times is what it used to be. I don't know, maybe I'm living in a bubble. I don't know. But Jews, they live in their own world. When Mashiach comes, they're not going to be living in their own world. The world will take note of the Jews. They will look at the Jews. That's the Hoya Hashem L'melech HaKol Aretz, the many whole Yishayim and Yitzukim. Purim was the Aschalt of the Geula. Aschalta de Gula, and it says in the Farish in the Megillah, La Yehuda Moisa Oira Simcha Vesasan Vikar, Elu Hatfilin.
What are you looking
for? Verohu Kol Amu Aris, Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yadu Rebecca. The world will look at the Jews, and they will come to acknowledge that the Shekhinah is resting on the Jews, and they will be afraid of the Jews. They will have awe from the Jews. This is the beginning, the Aschalta de Geula is Purim, Vikar. It's not a coincidence that the opening word of this week's parasha is Vikar, Vikar. Karach, okay, I'm going to come to that in one moment. I'm coming to that in one moment. But first thing to take note of that Vayikra El Moshe, it's not a coincidence that the opening word in this Chumash, which this year uniquely falls out Erev Purim, the week of Purim, is Vikar, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are many dimensions in Purim. Every year, it's a different Purim. Every year, there's a very big difference between the Purim. He has a beautiful development about on this concept, and Rabbi Daniel Galatstein Sefer. That's it. You should all get and read it 20 times. It's an unbelievable book. He really captures so much. There's so much material there in that Sefer. It's written like, you know, he really distills very deep concepts into very, very simple words that even someone like me can relate to. And one of my favorite essays in his Sefer, and Purim, it's on every bookstore, it's piled up because it's selling like hotcakes, is that the end of the Megillah, where Esther says to Ahasuerush, that says that the Melech, I'm sorry, Imal HaMelech Tov, Yinosein Gam Mochor. I'm not saying the pasuk correctly, but at the end of the Megillah, where Esther speaks to the Melech, and she asks the Melech that may we can do the same exact thing, Mochor. May we do the... And going to the simple reading of the Pesuk, we can't, unfortunately, I don't know it well enough to go through, to explain it in one moment. Well, we have to really go through the Pesuk to bring out the idea. But that passing at the end of the Megillah, where Esther has a conversation with the Melech, it doesn't make any sense. It does not fit into the narrative of the Megillah. It is stands out, just doesn't make sense.
I put it here. And,
okay, and the only way to make sense out of it is to understand that the word mochor means yesh mochor li'achar zman. Mochor means doesn't mean
you put it in my pocket.
The short time it means mochor li'achar zman.
Vayikra el Moshe. Vayikra el Moshe, there's a small aleph. The pasuk Vayikra is spelled, the word Vayikra. Why is it that the word Vayikra is spelled according to the simple understanding? Why is there a small aleph? So we said before, when you have a small aleph, the Torah is trying to indicate that you should omit the letter aleph. What is the difference between the word Vayikra and Vayikar? So the answer, where do we find the word Vayikar in the Torah? We find this in reference to Bilam. When Hashem spoke to Bilam, Bilam was a prophet. He was a prophet from the Umay So'ilam. When Hashem spoke to Bilam, it says, Vayikar Hashem El Bilam. Something that's expression. Moshe, in contrast, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, it says, Vayikra El Moshe. The word Vayikra, according to Chazal's understanding, is an expression of love. Vayikar of chiba, of love. The word Vayikar means a chance occurrence. It just happened by accident. In Parshas Kiseitse, it says regarding Amalek, Asher Korcha Baderech. They just happened by chance. A chance encounter to meet the Jewish people Baderech on the road. It was an accident. It wasn't planned. It was just Vayikar. That Amalek's entire essence is the denial of the existence of Hashem, and everything that happens in this world is nothing more than a chance occurrence, an accident. Vayikar, nothing was by design. It happened. Moshe, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu Vayikra, not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu consciously speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu with love, with emotion, with feeling, with a special expression of contacting, communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his extreme humility, did not want it to be said about him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for him a special love, a special connection, a special chibur. Therefore, when Moshe was told by Hashem to write by Yikra El Moshe, due to his humility and the embarrassment that he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a special love and devotion to him, he wrote it with a small aleph, as if to say, I'm really no different than Bilam. Bilam, when Hashem spoke to Bilam, Bilam certainly has absolutely no love for Bilam. And it's Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just accidentally he happened to meet Bilam. Hashem needed Bilam. He needed to speak to Bilam for whatever the reasons were. He needed the Umay Islam should have a prophet in order that Hashem can communicate with them. But Hashem had absolutely no love. And the way it's described in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with them, Vayikar, it was just a chance occurrence. Ki'ilu was just a chance occurrence. Moshe, in his humility, did not want it to sound like that he is anything special, anything more than Bilam. So he wrote about himself, Vayikar. The way you write about yourself, Vayikar, is you make the aleph small. By making the aleph small, it's almost as if saying the aleph does not exist. Make believe Hashem spoke to me the same way Hashem spoke to Bilam. I was just a tool, an instrument for Hashem to communicate with Chazal and Shaul to bring about the desired result that there should be a Gaula. Okay, so this is the very classic interpretation of why the word Vayikra in the beginning of this parasha is a small aleph zira. It's due to Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. His humility demanded that. His humility demanded that. That he should not stand out as being anything special. Now let's take this idea and just go a little bit further. This parasha of Vayikra is presented as backdrop to Purim. What is Purim really all about? Purim is a holiday where we take a collection of events that are not supernatural, are just coincidences. They're coincidences. And when you look at this event and this event and this event, what's the big deal? This happened, that happened. But then miracle of Purim is where you string all of these, so to speak, coincidences together. And then you come to realize that it's undeniable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. It is undeniable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control and bringing about a greater plan of salvation for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the word Vayikra with a small aleph. This word Vayikra, in essence, is defining the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's role by giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael is to show events that seem to be Vayikar, chance events. Things just happen. We live in a world of Vayikar. We don't live in a world where every day you see Kriyas Yam Suf, you see Tenbaka, you see other miracles. We live in a world of Vayikar, chance occurrences. This happens, that happens, that happens. That's the big letters of the pasuk. But when you look very closely at all of the chance events, the coincidences, and you string them all together, you then realize it's truly Vayikra. Hashem is calling out to us with love. There's a greater plan. There is a divine mission. There is miracles surrounding us every single second. The essence, this word Vayikra, is the perfect word to open up the Parsha Zoh. The word Vayikra is the complete opposite of what it says about Amor. Asher korcho baderech. The essence of Amalek is to tell the world there's nothing in this world other than Vayikar. Karcha, chance occurrences, coincidences. There is no God, there is no divine plan, there is nothing special happening in this world. Everything that happens in this world is just a pure accident, a coincidence. That is the essence of the Mafter Asher Karcha Baderech. The opening word of this week's parasha is, you're right, we acknowledge. When you look at this world at face value, it's nothing more than Vayikar. But there's an aleph here. There's a little aleph. It's hard to see. It takes concentration to see that there's an aleph. But that aleph is a world of a difference because it takes the word Vayikar and transforms it into Vayikra, Lashon Chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing his love, his preciousness for Klal Yisrael by taking all of these coincidences, putting them together in very precise moments of time in order to create a result that undeniably reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the entire show. Okay, so we've given in total two different mahalachim in the word Vayikra. First mahalach was, it's Vayikra, Hashem is calling out to the Jew, to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's also Vayikar, Vikar Elu HaTefillin. This week begins, the week Purim begins, the time of the year, the Jewish holidays of the Aschalta de Geula. We started the end, before we began to behold this whole disturbance, this whole problem. Yeah, I tried to bring out is that I was in the middle of this other part. And that is, in the Megillah, Esther says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mochar, Yesh Mochar Li'achar Zman. The miracle of Purim is different than all of the other holidays of the year. That's because Purim is not over. Every single Purim captures another element in the salvation of the Jewish people, b'derech nes, b'derech chesed. Every generation, the whole dor v'dor, oimdim oleinu l'chaloseinu. Purim is the only holiday where you fast before the Yom. How come built into Purim is Tainus Esther? The answer is because it's not that we're still commemorating an event that happened years ago. We are actually reliving the event, the story of Purim every single year. Every single year we find ourselves, whether we realize it or not, in very desperate situation. where they're trying to destroy Spoldor Vador under the millennium colour. And every year we need to go to battle, we need to protect ourselves, just like Esther said to Father Show, Sumu Olai, Yaltochul Yaltishu, Shloishas Yomim Lila Vyan, Gamani Venarasai Otsum Pain, to a degree, Titus Esther, to some degree, is doing a microcosm of exactly that. Not because we're commemorating. If we were commemorating, we would not be need to fast. Commemorate the miracle that happened in the past. But that's not what Purim is about. Esther said, Yinosein Gam Mochor. Esther said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this miracle, it must repeat itself in every single generation. Every single generation needs this miracle once again. And Hashem says, yes. Yes. And therefore, every single year, we are re-experiencing for real. For real. We have a time, Esther, to fulfill, because we are in danger today, whether you realize it or not. We're in very, very great danger. And it's not going to be, we don't expect it to be Nisim doing miracles, the most we can expect is Nisim within the framework of Teva. And we do what Esther did. She fasted. So we fast. And then there's Purim. Now, the Purim of every year is different. Some years, the highlight of Purim is Oira. Some years, the highlight of Purim is Sasa. Some years, the highlight of Purim is Simcha. This year, every year, Purim falls down a different parasha. How many possible parashas can Purim fall out in? I don't know, but I'm assuming it's very close to the number four. To figure out what are the possible parashas when Purim falls out. Go through the Jewish calendar and figure out the different parashas when it falls out. Each parasha captures in it a certain theme. This year, Purim falls out in the back, against the backdrop of Parashas Vayikra. The opening word of Vayikra is Vikar. If Purim results in the ultimate Purim experience, results in four elements, like Oira, Simcha, Sasa, and Vikar. And every year, Purim repeats itself. It's not just a commemoration of what it once was. Every year, there's a new Purim. There's a new Purim. And you can't expect every year the Purim should have all four elements in the full glory. Every year, there's an emphasis. Every year is a macrocosm of the original Purim. But it's a re-experience of the real Purim. And if there are four different elements of Purim, certainly every year, there's this highlight of a certain element. If this year, Bahashkacha, the Purim is against the backdrop of Vikar, and the Mahus of Vikar is Tefillin, and Tefillin represents V'rohu kol Amei Ha'aretz, Ki Shem Hashem Nikro Lecha V'yadu Mimeka, it means that this year is an Eis Mesugol. The Purim of this year is Yaschalta de Geula in a newer dimension. There's something unprecedented that happened this week, or maybe it was even last week. This is unprecedented, and I don't know in how many thousands of years, is where whether you can say all the nonsense you can say, I don't know, all the criticism you can say, but it's something that's really something you can't ignore, is there's a war going on in this world, a very significant war. Russia invaded Ukraine, and I know it's extremely confusing to get a grasp on what is really going on. It's almost impossible to get a grasp, to go honest understanding of what is really, really going on. Okay, so no one really knows, and everyone has a different opinion. Everyone has what to say. There's a need for peace. And traditionally, when there's a need for peace, there has to be a peacemaker, a world leader that steps forward to negotiate peace. Who was the first one in the news, that entered into the arena, into the world stage? I will be the peacemaker.
Actually
had a meeting, actually traveled, not on the phone, traveled to Russia. They have pictures, sat down with Putin and had a conversation. It resulted in nothing. Okay, we don't know. We don't know what happened. We don't know the seeds. We don't know the seeds that were planted. The whole world is watching the state of Israel. A Jew who wears a kippah, is negotiating peace, world peace. Did you ever in your lifetime see something like this? Did this ever happen? I know all the criticism you're gonna say. I know all the rebuttal to what I just said. I got it. You don't have to tell me I got it. But after everything is said and done, all the comments you can make and downplay what I just said. You can downplay it. I got it. After all the downplaying that I just said, the bottom line is the whole world was watching when you're dealing with a war that can easily turn into World War III, Chas v'Shalom, a Jew is front and center negotiating peace. Haloy Davar? Is this not a shocking thing to shake a person up? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro olecha v'yodu mimeka. A person wearing a kippah, going to Russia, negotiating peace, world peace, where the United States can't do anything, where Britain can't do anything, where China can't do anything. And who's there on the world stage, on every, the headlines of every single outlet of news? A Jew with a kippah. The Prime Minister of Israel is trying to make shalom. Haloy davar? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. This Purim begins against the backdrop of Vikar. Vikar, elu ha'tefillin. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. The whole world. Ki shem Hashem nikra olecha. What is one of Hashem's names? Shalom. You're not allowed to say shalom in a makom tinoifas. Ki shem Hashem nikra olecha. Cloud Yisrael, the Jewish people can make peace. I know the rebuttal, but after all of your criticism, what people would say, what I just said, the bottom line is, you're not going to say it's a token of Purim, Vikar, Haloy Davar, Aschalta de Geula. Hashem is communicating with us. Mark, you with me on this? Okay, now, Let's go to another idea. We're very short. I want to tell you one other idea about Purim linked to this parasha. The very famous Chazal. Today, you have to all have homework. I'm giving everyone homework to ask their grandchildren, what's the first pasuk they taught you in Yeshiva? Ask your little grandchildren. Probably most of them will tell you Bereishis. Bereishis, Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim. But possibly there's someone here in this room who's going to ask one of their grandchildren and they will say, well, the first pasuk they taught us was Vayikra el Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elav Be'el Moed Leimah, even by the Litvans. And then we went to Bereishis. They might actually say to you that they learned this possible as the first pasuk because it's a Chazal. Chazal say traditionally who learned Chumash Vayikra? Children. Children learned Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe, the children learned Vayikra. Why did the children learn Vayikra? Yovoi to hoirim the yasoik b'taharis. Let the pure, innocent kindlach, let them engage, be busy with taharis, with purity. The purity, yavoi to hoirim the yasoik b'taharis. So the custom is that children should start their learning Torah not with Bereishis, but with Chumash Vayikra Korbanos. Probably just the first pasuk. Just the first pasuk.
Yeah.
The first pasuk. Yeah. Right. First pasuk. As a token, it's not what the Chazal meant. Chazal meant the whole Chumash Vayikra. It means just a token fulfillment of this one pasuk. What's the pshat? Why? What's going on? So I want to suggest an idea which relates very much to Purim. When you bring a carbon, there are three things you bring in the carbon. There are three things. Every single carbon has three parts. There's the animal, there is a mincha, a meal offering, and there is wine. You bring the animal, and every animal, whatever the animal is, then it says, "Umin chasam v'niskehem kimudubar." It is accompanied with what we call minchas nisach, a meal offering, and yayin. Min chasam v'niskehem kimudubar. And the question is why? Why is that? Why does every animal have accompanied by bread and by yai? So we'd like to suggest the following explanation. When you bring an animal, what are you really doing? You're giving up your life. You're making a statement, Ribbono Shel Olam, I shouldn't be living. I did an avera, I've gone against your will, I should die. But you know, you don't want people to die. You want Hashem promotes life, not death. So you know what? instead of me giving them my neshama, I'll bring an animal. The animal will be in the place of my neshama. Okay, so we bring it. But in essence, you're really saying to Hashem, let the animal be equivalent to me giving up my neshama. In other words, you're going to die al kiddush Hashem. Children are taught this lesson. Take a child, and the child is pure. We want him to be oisek in taharas, in pure matters. What are the purest matters in the Torah? Karbanos. Is that really a good lesson to teach a child to die? To live a life of death? Absolutely not. Is that even a good lesson for any person to live with? So everything is about dying? Of course not. After you bring a carbon, the next thing you immediately do to accompany the carbon is you bring a meal offering. What is the meal offering? Bread. What is bread? Bread is life. Kiloy al halechem levadoy yichyeh ha'adah. Yeah, but you do live on bread. The pasuk by saying kiloy al halechem levadoy means in the olam hateva, bread is life. Life. Now, life can be very boring sometimes. You just watch reruns the whole day. It can be very boring. We need some spice in life. You need some simcha. So what else do you bring with the bread? Yayin. The yayin yisamach levav enesh. You bring a good life. Life, healthy, robust, strong life. And with bread comes yayin. Simcha, like they say in the world of Shidduchim, Simcha Sachaim. Does the boy have Simcha Sachaim? Does the girl have Simcha Sachaim? Simcha Sachaim, to enjoy life. Every single sacrifice would, by definition, means death. It's a very dangerous concept to learn Chumash Vayikra. To learn about all of the sacrifices, to study the whole day, death, death, death. Give up your life for this. Give up your life for this. Either this or they or die. Either this or they or die. This or they or die. Death, death, death. Mesivas nefesh. You go out of your mind. It's a dark world. It's all about death. No. That's not what it's about. It's not about dying. You don't die. You bring something in your place. You don't die. You stay alive. The animal's in your place. But you learn from the process what it means. Dedication, devotion, discipline, Mesiras Nefesh. And the Ikar is accompany that Mesiras Nefesh with Simchas HaChayim. Lechem is life. Ki lo yala lechem levado yichye ha'adah. Yayin, the yayin yisamach levad enosh. Okay. Now, let's go to the Purim story. In the Purim story, I wanted to go into Ramachal. This is where I talk about very, very quick. One is the Dalad Malchus, who was the Golos of Yavon primarily directed against? Which segment of the Jewish population would you say? I would suggest, tell me if you think this is correct, women, Noshim.
Well, it certainly was the start.
The start, but it's also the whole essence of Yavon, Yafta Lekim Liyafis, beauty. Do men beautify themselves? They do. And I always jump. When two women see each other, what do they say to each other? You ever eavesdrop on two women meeting each other? Oh, you look so beautiful. Your shape was so nice. Oh, I love your dress. You ever eavesdrop? Did you ever see two guys? Oh, you look so handsome today. You don't hear men complimenting, oh, you're so handsome today. Hey, dude, what's new? What's up, dude? How you doing? Men, yoifi is not a man's forte. Okay, men have to look, you know, proper. But yoifi is the forte of a woman. Yaft Elokim liyefes. Yefes. The whole gezer of Yavon was noshim kol haniseis tibol lehegmon tchila. It was against Shabbos. A lot of, Shabbos is the home, it's the woman's home. There are a lot of things about Yavon. Yavon's focus was the noshim. Let's go to Edom. Who is Edom again? Who is Edom focused on? Who is the thrust of Golus Edom? Look at Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. You gain a lot of insight. Tein li Yavne v'chachoneho, and a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok, the Zakenim. the Talmidei Chacham and the Zakeim. Golus Edom's target, primary target, are Talmidei Chacham and Zakeim. The Nazis. Who is the primary target? The Rabbina. The Rabbina. The Nazis, not the children. It's interesting. Not the children. Children, you have a whole discussion about this. But it would appear from Chazal, this is an idea which needs to be really checked if it's correct what I'm saying, is that the primary, each of the Dalet Malchuyos had a different target. The population includes men, women, children, Zakenim. It includes different elements. You can't have it all. You have a target. What's your primary target? Go to war. What's the goal? You can't go conquer the whole country. What's your target? What are you want? What's the primary objective? Yavon's primary objective were to destroy the women. Like by Paro. Paro is just the opposite. Paro is not part of the Malchus. It's Habas. Yavon's target were the Noshim. Edom, the fourth Malchus, Tainli Yavne v'chachomeha, a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok. That's what we wanted to say. That's what you wanted to say. That's what the target was. Talmidei Chachamim, Zakenim. What was Bavel's primary target? That's a tough one. That I really need Rabbi Chol to think about. Come tell me what he thinks the primary target of Bavel was. What was Bavel? What? The land? You know, it has to be more than that. What element of society? It's hard. That is a nation. It's hard. You have to think about what exactly their primary. There must be something you focus on. Now, let's get to our topic for today. What was the primary target of Paras Umada, Haman? Who were his targets? It's clear. No, of course, Jews, but when you can't have everyone, children. There's no doubt about it. The primary target of Haman were the children. The Perish and Medrash, Haman terrorized the children. Haman came into the Medrash, there were 22,000 children sitting around the Mordechai when Haman came. And Haman, he's teaching them Torah, and the children started screaming. And Haman said, when I get the power, I'm going to start with you, all the kingdom. I'm going to start with you. And when he got power, he rounded up all the children. And their parents came to them with food and drink. And they said that they were all slated to be exterminated the next day. The men had all these details. And the parents came and said, why should our children have to die hungry? At least the last day of life, they should have a good meal. And the parents came to the concentration camp where their children were with food to give their children. And the children said, no, we want to fast. We want to die in a state of tahara. Children, the little children. Haman's target, the Medrash says explicitly, a long Medrash describing what he did to the children, terrorized the children, 22,000 children. You're going to die. I'm going to start with you. The goal of that's why Purim is a children's holiday. That's why, as we learned yesterday in the Ramah, who is supposed to wear the costumes? Who is the one who's supposed to clap? Not the adults. The adults, it's not your holiday. You're just creating an environment so the children can have a good time. It's the children's holiday because they were the targets. Hanukkah, women don't do malacha on Hanukkah to some degree. It's their holiday. Purim, the goal is the Purim and all that. It's a children's holiday. The parents are just there to set the background, the backdrop, so the children can have a good time. It's their holiday. What did the children do on that holiday? They were willing to die on Kiddush Hashem, Noisa Nefesh. Death. Chazal say, this year is an Ibiyor. When do we celebrate? When do we celebrate for this year? Adar Sheni. Why Adar Sheni? Why do we celebrate Adar Sheni? Why Adar Rishon? Chazal say, you must be soymech ge'ula le'ge'ula. Purim has to be right next to Pesach. It's critical. Why? Wouldn't you like a little break? A little more time to eat up all the mishloach manos? They don't want us to gain weight, so you gotta get rid of it right away before Pesach comes. Why don't we have a be soymech ge'ula le'ge'ula? You know what the answer is? What is Pesach all about? V'higadta levincha b'ayom ahu leimar b'avur ze osa Hashem li b'tzeisi mitzrayim. Teach your children how to live. Purim, the children were willing to die. They were willing to die. Die al kiddush Hashem shmat. When the parents came to give them food so they should die on a full stomach, the children said, no, we want to die fasting. B'kdusha uv'tahara. That's what it says in the Medrash. They refused to take food from their parents. We're going to die b'kdusha uv'tahara. We're going to fast our last day in life. We're going to die. Chazal said, you know, that's a very dangerous holiday for them. Because when the children focus on death, it's very dangerous. You better make sure that within 30 days, v'higadta levincha b'yom ahu leimar, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mitzrayim, you better teach them how to live. Don't let the thought of death linger in their mind. You must be soimich ge'ula le'ge'ula, not your ge'ula. Who cares about you? The children. This is a children's holiday. And Pesach is also a children's holiday. Because every korban is accompanied by a minchas nesachim. Every sacrifice is accompanied by simchas achayim. A meal offering, kiloy al lechem levad yichi ha'adam, v'yayin yisamach levad enosh. We always talk about this. If you do the math, it's something very shocking. Ezra HaSofer, he rebuilt the Bayi Shem. No one wanted to make Aliyah. No, he had to beg them. They make Aliyah, and what does he discover? They're all intermarried. All the Jews are married to Goyim. How did that happen? How did it happen so quickly? In 70 years, Jews just gave up their identity as being Jews. It doesn't make any sense. All the reasons you're going to give, it doesn't make any sense. There's something that is missing. We don't understand how it could be that the Jews can go from the Churban Bayi Sheni in such a short period of time to complete Yeush. Ad kidei kach, they intermarried in large scale. Now, let me ask you, do you have to do the math? When did the Purim story happen? Approximately 11 years before the rebuilding of the Bayi Shem. The rebuilding of the Bayi Shem didn't go so fast. It took some time. And then Ezra discovered all the people who came back are married to Goyim. Who are the people that are married to Goyim when Ezra came back? Who are they? Those children. Do the math. The children that it says in the Medrash that said to their parents, we're not going to eat. We're going to die on Kiddush Hashem in a matzav of Kiddusha uvitahar. Tzadikim, you can't even begin to imagine. How old were those children? Those children lived, it was 11 years before the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So those were either 11 years old or 10 years old or 9 years old. These are the children. Those are the children. Who else are they, right? And now Ezra is addressing how many years later was Ezra addressing these people? 5 years, 10 years. So how old were these people? 20. You have to know exactly when Ezra spoke to the people. Ezra, the whole problem with the intermarriage was they were marriageable age. These children, when you go, it was 11 years to go, and then they rebuilt. So it was 11 years. How old were they at that point in time? So let's make when they were approximately 10 years old. Let's make that assumption, right? Is that a fair assumption to make? They're going to die al kiddush Hashem. They were 10 years old. They were 9 years old. Add the number 11 to the number 10. So that means they're 21 years old. Or maybe 20, or maybe 19. Ezra did not address them exactly at that year, 11 years. He addressed them probably like 5 to 10 years later. So you're dealing with people that are intermarried, about 25, 30 years old. That's the group of people, that's the demographics. Who are the people that he's addressed that are intermarried? He's dealing with the new generation, which in the young adults, in their late 20s, 30s, 40s. Wait a minute, do the mathematics. The people that he must have been addressing are the children, are the people that were the primary targets of Haman Harasha and the story of Haman. Doesn't make sense. These children have been praised for being dying on Kiddush Hashem with the greatest Kiddush over Tahara. And yet this group of people so easily decided to intermarry and just give it all up? What's going on over here? So if you'll talk to a psychologist, you know what they'll say to you? This is classic post-traumatic stress disorder. Did I say that correctly? Post-traumatic stress disorder. That's right. They were giboyrim. They were strong. But there's a price to pay. When you moisten nefesh, it affects you. It affects you. And there's burnout. And if you're not properly taken care of, treated after such an experience, you don't know what the future lies. The people at Rachmanos, and they have to say people at, let's say, Rachmanos, they have an elementary school, and one of their classmates dies. They bring in a good school, a very good school, will bring in professionals into the school immediately. They'll spend a lot of money in the school. If one of the kids in the class dies, happens every so often. You look at the kids, they don't care. They're too young to understand what happened. The kid dies. The kids don't really. Look at what are you wasting all this money? The board says to the school, what are you wasting? You know how much money it costs to go bring in to follow up and bring in professionals to sit down with the kids, to talk to them one-on-one? The kids couldn't care less. One of their friends died. They're out to the ballpark. They're on their computer. They don't even think about it. They don't even care. Excuse me. Yeah, that's what it seems like. You don't know what's going on in their mind. And you don't know 10 years later how this can play out on you. And if you're responsible when someone experiences trauma, even though you don't see it, you don't see the trauma, the professionals, hopefully, supposedly, know how to deal with it, how to treat it in its earliest stage, even though the symptoms may not be apparent, because you don't know what's going to be in the future. Case in point. Look at the story of the Megillah. It was the children who were moiser nefesh in the most noble way, and look what happened to them. They intermarried. That's this week's parsha. Yavoi tohoidin v'yasoik b'taharas. When you teach children about korbanos, you know what you teach them about korbanos? You teach them to be moiser nefesh. But don't forget to teach them about simchas achayim. Every korban is accompanied with a mincha and yayin, life and joy, simchas achayim. You have to balance the lesson of mesiras nefesh with simchas achayim, with minchas nesachim. Purim has to be right next to Pesach. Purim must be in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. Because if you're going to have Purim in Adar Rishon, you're going to teach the children, die, death, a glorious death. No, that's a korban without minchas nesachim. You have to be soimech geulah legeula. There is Taka, a glorious Mesiras Nefesh, and within 30 days, you ready to begin to teach them on Purim? Ba'avur zeh, also Hashem li, v'higalta levincha. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful Shabbos. I'm very sorry for the disturbance today. I don't think it was my fault. We had a technical issue that was over my abilities, and thank you for coming.
I'm going to go to the next one. Hey.